Hey guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Nick, and we're going to be talking about everything fitness, health, and the challenge.
Let's get on with the show.
What's up guys, Coach Steve here. Welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Podcast. In today's episode, I'm joined with one of Maxine's top 10 finalists, Laura Bakic. Laura, welcome to the Challenge Podcast.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
So excited to finally spend a bit of time chatting with you. But Laura, you know, just a few days ago, a few weeks ago, you found out that you finally made the Maxine's top 10. What has the past couple of weeks been like for you?
It's been really good. It was always been a goal of mine to achieve top 10. I made top 50 a few times, but just never made that extra mile to make it into the top 10. So it's been pretty amazing, been on cloud nine a bit. Yeah, pretty stoked.
Well, look, you should be so proud of what you've achieved. You know, you've shown us that over time you can continue to get better, and now you've made the top 10, which is amazing to see. And you should be so proud of the results that you've achieved. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, Laura, I know a little bit about you, and I'm sure a few people listening know a little bit about you, but there might be some people who aren't sure who you are. So would you like to give us a little bit of an introduction about yourself, maybe where you're from, what you do for work, and who is Laura?
Sure, no worries. So I'm 41. I'm a mother of three children who are adults now. I'm married to Mark and I work at Bunnings in the garden centre.
Oh, beautiful.
That's pretty much me.
That's you in a nutshell. I love that.
Yeah.
So you're mum of three. We've got Mark, who's also part of the challenge as well, and part of the Bunnings crew in the garden section.
Yep.
Oh, beautiful. All right, Laura, let's talk about the challenge. So correct me if I'm wrong, you've done about 10 or more challenges with us, right?
I have, that's correct.
Yeah. So when was your first challenge?
I believe May 2017. So 4 years ago.
4 years ago. You've been around in the challenge longer than I have.
I have indeed.
So you would have watched the challenge change and grow quite a few times to what it is now, correct?
Yes, all the nutrition's changed, the training's changed. Yeah, definitely had massive changes.
Massive changes. Look, now, Laura, look, let's talk about why you chose to first start the challenge. So if we were to go back in a time machine back to 2017, probably a very different world to what it is now. Could you tell us a little bit of a story about why you chose to start that very first challenge in 2017?
Sure, no worries. So I was reasonably overweight, actually probably obese. If you go back to 2016, about 4 or 5 months before I joined the first challenge, I had probably two main things in my life that happened that really like triggered a point. One, firstly, was a cocktail party that was for a work birthday party. All the people were dressed up in like nice clothes. I went to get dressed. I had one dress left that fit. I went to put it on. And as I went to zip it up, I was trying to squeeze into it. I busted the zip. Yeah, the dress was ruined. I had nothing to wear and I was standing there, what am I going to wear? So I can come across as quite a funny person or make a joke. I had a taco costume. So I put the taco costume on and I wore that to the cocktail party. Everyone thought it was a joke. Everyone had a good laugh. I had a good laugh, but inside, dying pretty much. Yeah, pretty down on myself. Mm-hmm. Had no clothes to wear, fat in a taco suit. Mm-hmm. The second thing that happened, that was probably a month or so later, was it was McHappy Day. So Mark and I, you know, support Ronald McDonald House. I get to eat a Big Mac. Yeah, this is good. So when we went to McDonald's, we sat inside and I ordered two Big Macs. I ate both of them. And then I sat there and thought, you are just a fat pig. That like I felt disgusting. Those were probably the two main trigger points within myself, other than people telling me I was a bit overweight. Then I was standing out the front of my house and one of the girls in my neighbourhood, which was semi-rural, walked past and another person was doing a boot camp at my local park. And she said to me, why don't you come? And I went, yep. So I just was wearing what I was wearing. I went down to the park. I joined into this boot camp. The first thing they made you do was a burpee. Well, I got down on the ground and thought, how the hell am I going to get up? I nearly died. I couldn't breathe. It was really hard. But I thought from that day on, that's it. So she had boot camps going, I think, 3 times a week. So I started going to these boot camps and I started to eat what I thought was healthy. I made fruit salads. I made just kind of fresh food as much as I could without eating out of packets as much. I stopped all takeaway, which previously I was lazy and probably eating takeaway at least once a day, like work lunches and stuff like that. And we'd eat Macca's or Hungry Jack's or anything like that. So I did the boot camp. I started to eat clean. I walked for miles. I walked and I walked and I walked. I probably hit about a 10 kilo loss. And then in the February, Mark came home from work and one of the guys at his work was a power lifter. And he said to Mark, why don't you try the Max's Challenge? So Mark's come home, Googled, and he goes, you know what I did today? I registered for the Max's Challenge. I went, what's that? And obviously he showed me and I researched and I thought, well, I'm not getting left behind. I'm doing this Max's Challenge as well. So when I actually Googled it, I found Maxine's Challenge. So we both signed up. I think that was definitely the February. And obviously we had to wait until the May for the challenge to start. We both completed that challenge and both got top 50. So that's how I started Max's or Maxine's.
Wow. What a story. So you had a few big life moments and they're probably big memories for you now. And you took those small steps to start increasing things like your steps, eating a little bit better choices of foods. And then eventually we found the challenge in 2017. And then the rest is kind of history, right?
It sure is.
So would you agree that you kind of got hooked in 2017 and you've done every challenge since?
Yeah, that's correct. I think when people seen the results that Mark and I got, mm-hmm. it was a question of what did you two do? Like, wow, power couple, couple goals. Mm-hmm. We worked together really well. We sort of, not distance, but it definitely gave us a focus and came together as a couple as well. Mm-hmm. So many people saw that around us that most of my friends, people I knew, everyone was starting to join up into the Max and Maxine's challenge. So we did the second one as well mm-hmm. at 100%, I would call it. Mm-hmm. And I had a lot of friends and family doing it as well. Then that came into things like people saying to me, well, can I come and train with you? I'm like, of course, let's do it. And then it got a bit bigger and a bit bigger. And I started doing some boot camps with people in the park and got some gear together. We even ended up doing a boot camp in Bunbury with Chelsea, mm-hmm. who's an ambassador as well. Mm-hmm. She was sort of somebody I asked questions to. I'd just seen her jump up on the Max's Facebook page, mm-hmm. thought she's just an awesome person. So I reached out and messaged her and she'd messaged me back. And that was like the start of the Maxine's challenge for me.
Yeah. So Laura, you know, you first done the challenge in 2017 and you got hooked for that next challenge. And, you know, often people would join the challenge. They might do one challenge, maybe a second challenge, even a third challenge. They might lose 10, 20, 30 kilos. They get the six pack that they're looking for, maybe even making the top 50, top 10. And then they might do something like, you know, wipe their hands with the challenge and then off they go. But, you know, for yourself, you continue to stay on the challenge back to back to back to back. So could you tell us a little bit about maybe why you chose to do back to back challenges for the past 4 years? What was it about the challenge that made you want to stick around?
I think belonging to a group and remaining accountable to that group and to those people, it keeps you on track. Although I did all those challenges back to back, I did some where I was just mentoring people through it. Obviously, I was still eating clean. I was still training, but I wasn't going that extra mile. So I was kind of maintaining. But I definitely think it's an accountability thing and being part of that group and yeah.
Yeah, I think the biggest part around fitness is that community, right? Is that environment that we're in. And sometimes we go to a physical gym and we kind of get that in the gym where you meet Barry behind the desk and John who's cleaning the windows and you meet the crew at the back with the barbells and the cardio morning crew. You meet the people right in the gym and that's like your little like social groups. But I think in the modern worlds that we live in, sometimes it's difficult to make those connections in gym environments. You know, everyone's got headphones on or people aren't as receptive to meeting other people in gyms. And heck, even with this COVID thing that's around, that's kind of gone a little bit out the window. But something like the challenge is an amazing way to meet like-minded people, just like you have, right? Where you started off with someone like Chelsea and you met her online and maybe a few other people, which kind of leads me into this mentorship thing that you kind of kicked off. So we have to talk about this.
For
so
sure.
We introduced mentoring only maybe a year or maybe even 2 years ago within the challenge. And it was something that was asked for a few times about how do people buddy up, how do they meet other people in their areas. And then luckily our Facebook group, well, Facebook launched a new feature where they had a mentoring kind of program built into it. So we thought, great, let's just launch this into the challenge. It's kind of taken off in its own little beast. And then I think yourself, Laura, probably the queen of mentoring, has kind of exploded and taken on a whole range of challenges and mentoring our grand champions, right? So Laura has gone through and mentored. We've got Suzanne Gullmeyer, which I'm sure is now one of your close friends. And she took out the May Challenge in 2020. And then Maria Kasheri, you've taken out, took out first place in the September Maxine's Challenge, and she was one of your mentors, right?
Yep.
So,
Mentees.
So you have a nice little resume of mentees that have done really well in the challenge. And then now you've made the top 10 yourself. So, I think you're kind of winning the title of mentoring. But look, can you tell us a little bit about how that started? You know, what made you want to start mentoring people online, and what made you expand that group? What does the group look like now? How many people are you mentoring? What is mentoring to you, and why do you keep doing it?
Yeah, no worries. So I was mentoring quietly in the background, a couple of messages, a couple of people, put myself up for the mentorship in the May Challenge on the Facebook page. That started by Sue messaging me. We clicked 100%. She's just amazing and will be my friend for life. She won the challenge in grand style, I say, very quietly, little quiet ninja. And with that, she's very similar to me and said to me, well, I'd like to mentor people as well. I'm happy to do that, but I'm just a little bit unsure about how to go about it. So that came about going, well, let's mentor together. We bounce so well off each other. Let's just do it together. She's like, yep. So then we had a group chat going, and Maria actually contacted Sue to mentor her, and because Sue's like, yep, no worries. This is how we're going to do it. So we had a couple of group chats going with people. At the beginning of that challenge, it blew up. It was too big for a group chat. So we opened up a private hidden mentoring page, Sue and I did, and started to add people to that. I think that we had about 27 people in the September challenge last year. And we just, I don't know, we just do things, we do funny things that people aren't even seeing. Last challenge, we did a 2-2 thing where we copied each other, and then other members of our, or mentees of our group, were doing it as well. Just messaging, live videos, just random fun things, keeping it fun and bouncing so well off each other. Mm-hmm. Obviously, with Sue, me mentoring Sue and Sue making grand champion, and then Sue and I mentoring Maria and she getting grand champion. Although they're two grand champions, there's many people in the background who've still got top 50 and have still done major weight loss and done so well. It's just, they didn't have that title, so they're known, but they are amazing as well. Bringing it to the end of that challenge, both of those girls called me out and said, hey, Laura, I think it's time you practice what you preach. So then I said to Sue, well, guess what? You've just got yourself a new mentee. So in the background of us mentoring other people last challenge, she really bounced off me like I would. I think it's just having that accountability, that one person who believes in you without, you can say anything, do anything, show pictures, message, having that accountability really makes a difference. And it's clear in the results that that's what's happened. I've made top 50, I believe, 4 times, but never top 10. It's having that one person who 100% believes in you. And I think, from me doing that for other people, it was really nice to have somebody do that for me, as well as me still doing the whole group mentoring, which I believe we had about 60 top 50s and 2 top 10s. So that's pretty amazing results.
Amazing. So talk to me a little bit about what the relationship was like between a mentor and a mentee. Was it simply just asking questions back and forth, or was it a little bit more of a friendship-like relationship, or was it like an accountability buddy? Like, how would you describe that relationship or that group setting that you were in?
I think that when you start off, it's just an accountability thing, but it soon grows to like a family. The people that I've mentored, they're like my family. I can't explain it. There's a few of them there that we message probably every day. Most of them message every day. It goes a bit further than just being a mentee. Mm-hmm. They're friends.
Yeah, I like that. And I think when we transition from just a fitness enthusiast to that position where maybe you're a mentor, you're a coach, you're a personal trainer, anything along these titles where you've got that little bit of a knowledge gap between, oh, I was just a fitness person, now I'm going to help someone else, it kind of forces yourself to be better, right? You have to start finding answers for these complicated questions. Yeah. And I think if I was to talk about my own experiences when I went from like a fitness enthusiast to a personal trainer, then like the challenge coach and whatever else I do, along the way, I've had to become better at fitness so that I can answer questions. I can offer advice and opinions and those types of things. And if anything, I have to go back to the drawing board being like, okay, well, what is training? Like, what is nutrition? What is a calorie, right? Like finding out all these things. Did you go through a similar process where maybe at the start you didn't really know what fitness was? You went to a boot camp, you're like, oh crap, a burpee, what the hell? And then as you transition into this mentor-like position, did you find that you had to get better at this thing that we enjoy doing, which is fitness?
Absolutely. I mean, like I said, with the food side of it, when I thought I was eating healthy, what you think is eating healthy and what is really healthy are two different things. Eating light yogurt's fine and fresh fruit, but I was making big fruit salads and being scared to eat carbs. Think carbs gain weight. No, they don't. They drive your protein into your muscles. It's all that learning process that you learn along the way, working out how to manipulate that food into something that tastes good to get it in your body, fueling your body with 98 fuel. Don't drive your car on diesel if it's a sports car. If you want optimum performance, you have to feed it with optimum food. And that is 100% what Maxine's has taught me.
Beautiful. Look, Laura, let's talk about some challenges. So I'm sure that over your challenge career, doing 10, a dozen or 4 years of challenges, can you tell us a little bit about some of the challenges that you faced along the way in completing the challenge?
Sure. I think you'll find that most of it's a mental game in your own head. There's not challenges there. You just keep moving. It's the mental games inside your head, that self-doubt, that not trusting the program. It's tried, it's tested. The results are there. You just have to put your trust in it. I think your social life as well is impacted. Clearly, I was a bit of a party girl who liked to drink, and that doesn't work. And when you associate with those people that you were in that environment of, you're expected to drink, you're expected to eat those kind of foods. And when you show up with a bottle of IntraBoost or CreaBurn and you've got this little package of food, you get judged. Back then, you're too fat, oh, you'll be right. Now, you're too skinny. You can afford to eat this, you can afford to eat that. What are you doing? You can have a drink. Well, actually, I don't want to drink, because have you ever eaten clean for that long and then go and drink a few drinks? Or trust me, you don't feel very well.
I've been there. Even just recently, having found out that I was going to be a dad, I went out and had a celebratory glass of wine.
Right? Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. And, you know, just having that one drink after not drinking for a really long time, oh boy, I can tell you that I felt that glass of wine. But you feel it at the time, you feel it the next day, and you're like, oh, geez, what have I put into my body, right? And that's the same as eating any sorts of foods. Like, I'm sure you've probably gone out and had something like, I don't know, a pizza or a burger or something like that. And you're like, oh, I really shouldn't have done that. You kind of feel it inside of you, right? And then now it's just, you know, the new you, where you go, well, I want to eat this way. Like, I enjoy eating a salad. I enjoy having my Sip and Burn or a bottle of water or something while I'm out, and these types of things. I mean, it is really like this identity change where you become this new person, where I'm no longer Laura in 2016 where I'm in a taco outfit at a cocktail party. Yeah. I'm like, I'm now fit Laura that loves going for hikes on the weekends, and I love to preach the word of fitness to everybody and mentor people online. which is amazing.
And right? I think I used to drink, I don't even know, I wouldn't have even drunk water before. It would have been alcohol at night, and then you're craving sugar from the alcohol, so you're drinking fizzy drinks and stuff during the day. It's just not a good circle to be in.
Yeah.
I think if you eat something bad or drink something bad, your body rejects it straight away, and that's clearly telling you that your body doesn't want it or need it.
Totally agree. I was going to say, around the like social side of things, you kind of mentioned before maybe you were like that party girl, you were like the funny girl in the group or whatever that past Laura was like. What was it like as you transitioned into this new Laura and you had to engage in those social circles, or even having those previous relationships where people knew you from the past and then now, like what were those interactions like? You know, were there lots of positive comments? Were there any negative comments? What was it like with those relationships with those people?
I think it's more negative, to be honest, from those people. Mm. It happens now still. I was out for dinner on Friday night. My daughter cooked dinner. And the people were there were like, well, aren't you having a glass of wine? I'm like, well, actually, no, I choose not to drink. Mm. Oh, well, you are a bit skinny. Well, that's nice that you think I'm too skinny, but once upon a time you told me I was too fat. How about you just look at somebody and say, hey, you look really good. Don't get too many more muscles. You're too muscular. Well, how about you look at yourself in the mirror, because you're not exactly good and I'm not judging you. You feel judged quite often, I think. At work, work's fantastic, but they put on so much food, but they know I won't eat it anymore. Mm. So half the time they're like, sweet, I'm having Laura's. Yeah, no worries. But they have also made really positive changes at work about the foods that they do put on. They always try to have healthy options, and that's really been a positive influence at work. Quite a few of my team members at work have actually done the challenge and have signed up for this current challenge again. So that's good to have them to bounce off at work. I find people going through the store hiding their food. If they've gone across the road and got chicken treat or a kebab or something, they're hiding it from me. And I'm like, I don't care if you want to eat that.
Yeah, yeah. I've been through those phases where people, either one, they have opinions of what I'm eating, or two, they're trying to hide what they're eating because they feel like I'm going to judge them because I'm the fitness guy. Yeah. I don't really care what you, it's fine. Like, I'm okay with you having that and I'm going to eat this. That's okay. I think I hate to talk about the gender differences, but I feel that women get judged so much about what they're doing with their body, right? Let that be if they're overweight, too skinny, anything in between. There's so much judgment there. And within my day-to-day life, you know, people are always being like, oh, you've got too much muscle, or like, oh, you're too big, or like, or they'll say it in a positive joking way, like, oh, look at the guns or whatever. It's nice, sure. But there was only one time in my life where I got genuinely judged, and it was through a period of time. It was only when I was competing in bodybuilding where I was slimming down, getting really skinny. And everyone seemed to have an opinion of what I was eating. Everyone had an opinion that I was getting too skinny, too lean, all these types of things. And I was like, geez, like, why do you now care that I'm doing these types of things? Like, I'm still the same person. I'm just 10 kilos lighter. I've got a six pack now. Like, what's the big deal? And in a way, it was nice to get some of that attention. But then the other times I was like, geez, like, I'm getting judged all the time. And then now on the other side of the spectrum where I'm eating a little bit more laissez-faire, I'm gaining a little bit of size in muscle and a bit of body fat and everything in between. I'm comfortable where I am, I'm getting stronger. If anything, people are like, oh yeah, you're like me. You get to have a burger on the weekend. It's like, well, yeah, but I'm also training like really hard.
Yeah.
It's just different how those gender differences, which are so real. And, you know, I guess I'm sorry that you went through that judgment and probably still do now. And people are listening to this and they feel that they're getting judged or they're about to get judged or anything like that. What advice would you give that person? Like, what did you do to manage those people?
What did I say? I think I just say, like, if someone says to me, you're too skinny, I'm like, thanks for noticing, because I'm actually training at the moment and I'm feeling really good. Mm-hmm. I think just turning it back on them, it's, I think everybody gets judged. It doesn't matter where you are in life. And it's usually people who want to make the change themselves but haven't, or I don't know. I just don't know why I would never say anything to anyone other than, hey, you look great. I walk past people all the time and look at them and go, your physique's amazing, or your shoulders are great. Mm-hmm. Oh, I wish I had your back. Or, hey, you're looking really good today.
Yeah.
It's not that hard. Be kind, be humble.
I like that. And without getting too much into the psyche, I really think it is kind of like that tall poppy syndrome where you might, well, this other person, this imaginary avatar might be looking at you being, and then maybe a bit of jealousy being like, oh, wow, like I wish I looked like that. What if I try knocking her down a few pegs to bring her down to my level, which is a very poor way to think. But then when we kind of get into that space where we feel confident, maybe we are like that tall poppy, we're there trying to lift everybody else up, just like what you're doing in your mentor groups where, you know, you're probably that instigator being like, wow, like look how strong you are. Look how skinny you're getting, or in a positive way, or like you look how much muscle you're building. Like look at the arms, look at the legs, amazing. You're building everybody up. Right. And you kind of transition into this really supportive role rather than trying to hack down all the trees and bring everyone down to your level. Right.
Yep. Absolutely.
Look, Laura, let's talk about change. Right. So I know 4 years is a long time, but, and you've already alluded to this already, but could you give us a little bit of a super summary about how your life has really changed over the past 4 years? If you were to go back in that time machine and think about old Laura to new Laura.
I think the self-doubt, you put yourself down a lot. For instance, prior, if I'd gone into say I needed new jeans for work, going into a jeans shop and trying to shop for jeans, when obviously I had 5 kilo babies, that they are really big. They did do damage to my body. I weighed 46 kilos before I got pregnant with my first son. I knocked over 100 by the time I had him. He was a very, very big baby. And then I followed up with a second very big baby. So my body's damaged and you get that apron look at the front with your stomach as a woman. And trying on jeans when you're overweight like that, you get like a muffin look at the front. And putting on jeans, I swear to God, I could have cried quite a few times in the change rooms and trying to find jeans and just chucking them out going, no. Now I can go shopping online, any shop, anywhere, everything I know the size of, I just buy it, I put it on, it looks good. Go into dress shops, try things on, yep, that looks good. Now it's not that looks good, it's what looks amazing. Like, oh yeah, I really like that. Because you could put a sack on and feel good. So I think that's one of the big things. Changes are, you don't go on a date night down to the Ravenswood Tavern, which we live across the road from, of which they have Wednesday night specials for $15 and $16, which Mark and I would have gone down there once or twice a week. Our kids are grown up. We don't have to cook for them. Now we'd be here prepping or going to the gym and having a sauna. Weekends we might go for a 10K hike instead of sitting on the couch hungover, although Mark wasn't a drinker at all, so he'd never have a hangover. But sitting on the couch hungover versus being up at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday, on a Saturday night, we'll look at each other and go, we'll sleep until 9 o'clock, hey? And he'll look at me and go, yeah, right, you'll be up at 5. Yeah, because that's my body clock is ticked and I'm up early and energized and good to go.
Wow. There's amazing changes. And it's kind of funny when you look back at your old you, right? Where maybe sleeping until 9 o'clock was the norm, right? And if you were to go back now to the old you and say that, hey, Laura, you know, in 4 years' time, you're going to be waking up at 5 a.m. every morning without an alarm clock and you're going to feel full of energy, you would have laughed at that, be like, you're crazy, right? And even just those little things like, hey, you're going to enjoy water and you're going to not go to the Ravens Tavern across the road, you know, once or twice a week, and you're going to love going to the sauna. Can you believe you getting into a little bathing suit in the sauna? You're going to love these things. Like, yeah. You would have thought that this future you was crazy, right?
I think when I first started that boot camp, I didn't actually think I was that fat. I thought I was overweight, but I didn't realize how bad it was. And I thought, if I can just lose 10 kilos, I'll be happier. If I can just lose 10 kilos. Well, I did that. And then I thought, oh, imagine if I could get in the 60s and be 69.9. Wow. And then it just kept progressing down, down, down. My friend said to me, you're going to hit into the 50s. I went, no way, still saying that's not a chance. I think one of the challenges, I ended at 46 and a half kilos, which I was a little bit thin. This challenge, I ended at 50 kilos. But again, scale weight doesn't mean as much to me anymore, because you can clearly see two people who both weigh 60 kilos have a very different physique.
Absolutely.
So I don't know. I just think, I definitely didn't think I would achieve anywhere near what I had. And I think it's close to 40 kilo loss all up.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's huge. And, you know, to add in more things to that is, sure, you've lost 40 kilos on the scales, but if we think about, I mean, we both know things like body composition, you would have gained so much more muscle. So you would have lost even more body fat, gained a whole bunch of muscle, and now you're strong, where you said maybe a few challenges ago, you might've been looking for that skinny 46 kilo Laura, but then now you're strong, you're fit, you're athletic, right? Could you tell us a little bit about that idea, like changing that mindset from, oh, I want to lose as much weight as I can to, okay, now I'm going to focus on building strength and being comfortable at 50 kilos, not being 46 kilos. And I'm sure that's still a 10% difference, but you probably feel worlds different between those two numbers.
It is a huge difference in numbers, being having that muscular tone rather than just the skinny tone. I think seeing other people's results and just watching the composition of their bodies change. And again, it's real food, real people, real results. So watching other people and seeing what they're doing, going, do you know what? Scales mean nothing, because trust me, I can weigh 3 or 4 kilos heavier at nighttime if I get on a scale from all the water I've drunk and just the time in the day. When I get on the scale in the morning, it's gone.
Yeah.
Do I care? Don't, just stay away from scales. Stay away from scales. They're for food.
Look, Laura, let's talk about advice. So I'm sure you've given out lots of advice to lots of different people, but if someone was messaging you today saying, Laura, I want to get fit and healthy, I don't know where to start, or that person was about to join the challenge themselves and they go, oh, you know, what should I do? What advice would you give that person?
I think for starters, if people are found the challenge but not joined up, join up. Do you have anything to lose? Try it. But mainly, the KISS method, keep it simple, stupid. People try to overcomplicate stuff all the time. It doesn't have to be that complicated. You don't have to have milk in your coffee. Just have black coffee. If you want a coffee, just drink it. You're fueling your body. You don't have to be master chef. Eat your chicken, your rice, your vegetables. Keep it plain, keep it simple. If you add these little extra bits, your salad dressings, your little bit of gravy on your meat, they all make a difference. They all add up. Just try it without doing it and see how good you feel, because those sugars and those salts, those little bits, they all make a difference. The other thing is too, and it comes up all the time, comparing yourself to others. You all wear different shoes. You all walk a different path. Just walk your path. Your only competition is in the mirror. And that's also for progress as well. The mirror won't lie to you. A photo is not going to lie to you. A measuring tape's not going to lie to you, but a scale can. And I just think try not to compare to others and just look in the mirror. That is your competition. The challenge too, I think, is just setting you up for life. It might be 12 weeks, but if you can knuckle down for those 12 weeks, see how good you feel, you won't want to stop. And that's what brings me to 4 years later. Why would I want to go back to what I was doing? No way.
Beautiful. That's quality advice. You know, and I think I definitely agree in that sometimes we get caught up in comparing ourselves to others. And within the first couple of weeks of the challenge, people start highlighting that and being feeling awesome that, oh, I've lost 2 kilos, lost 5 kilos, I lost 10 kilos in the first 3 weeks. Amazing, right? But then there's those other people that might be looking at that going, well, why didn't I lose 2 kilos in the first week? Did I do something wrong? Have I failed already? And then they would give up in week two because they're like, oh, well, I didn't lose 3 kilos by week three. I failed. And that's not the point, right? And sometimes we get 4, 5, 6, 7 challenges in before we start seeing big changes, right? And maybe if we think about your 4 years in the challenge, I'm sure your first challenge was probably very different to this last challenge that we just finished, right? From everything, from all those little extras that you had, how many steps you did, your intensity in the gym, like how much you prioritize your sleep, and all the little bits and pieces. It took you 4 years, right? Basically a whole I don't know, university degree worth of learning about this stuff. And it wasn't something that happened overnight. And I think sometimes the challenge doesn't do fitness justice, right? And sometimes we do highlight these before and after saying, hey, look at Laura. In 12 weeks, she went from here to here. Congratulations, you made the top 10. People see that, go, wow, I wish I could do that in 12 weeks. But they don't see that it's taken 4 years of you busting your ass and to get into that position, learning all the little bits and pieces to get to that spot. And that's where I think fitness is for life. And yes, it might just be 12 weeks, but we hope that the challenge ends up being maybe a bit of like a 12-week course, right? Maybe like a cert four in fitness and health in you.
Absolutely.
So that after the challenge, you have all the skills to be able to maintain this and be like, well, this is the new me now. This is what I do. You didn't just do one challenge, wipe your hands and walk away, be like, oh, well, I've done the fitness thing, on to the next thing. It's about lifelong things, right?
Setting yourself up. And again, you think that you're doing things right, but it's those little things that you learn that make the difference. I never would have thought that you could eat a bowl with quite a bit of rice in it. Mm-hmm. You would think, oh, no, I just better have salad and some chicken or not eat bread. You can eat bread. Mm-hmm. I think last challenge, I ate pizzas every day, 2 pizzas every day. And I think we did a count. It was something like 200 pizzas all up. But I enjoyed it. I didn't have to think about it. The prep was there. I knew exactly what I had to buy from the supermarket. It was done. I didn't even have to think about it. And I just kept eating. And who wouldn't want to eat pizza every day? I'm still eating it.
Right. Through one of the lockdown periods last year in Melbourne, my partner and I, who's also named Laura, we made pizza every night for like, I think it was a good 2 weeks. And this was like traditional pizza. I was there kneading the dough and making a nice pizza and everything like that. So, you know, even ideas like foods we often label as quote bad, right? Think pizza, burgers, think like spaghetti bolognese, think like a lasagna, like these foods that we often label as, oh, well, no, you can't eat those on a diet. It's like, well,
I'm not on a diet.
I'm not on a diet. I'm just, you know, a little bit aware of my portions, right? I'm not, you know, taking the piss and adding gravy and olive oil and having a dessert after and having a glass of Coke with dinner and all these little bits and pieces. Like, okay, I'm just being reasonable with my food intake. I'm enjoying these foods and my body's being nourished by it. I feel great. I'm going to go train. I'm going to go for a walk later and then go to bed at a reasonable time so that I can do it all over again the next day, right?
Absolutely.
Beautiful. Well, look, Laura, let's wrap it up there. Thank you for donating some of your time to be part of the Challenge podcast. I want to thank you for being such an active part of our community and thank you for mentoring so many, not only challengers, but people to live a healthier life. You know, you really help me and my goal in life is for people to enjoy their body. And I want to thank you for that. And then also congratulate you. You know, you've shown us that you might not get in the first challenge, but you keep getting better. And with a little bit of accountability and a little bit of a drive, you can make the top 10, which you have. So you should be so proud of the results that you've achieved and so proud of what you've done for people, right? I mean, what you're giving back to people is just beautiful, you know?
Thank you. Never know. There could be a little career change going on.
Well, look, would you be open for people to message you for advice and help and these types of things?
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, I'm pretty busy at the moment. So when I have like a fairly full team, I have taken myself off the mentoring tab, which is what we did last time. Mm-hmm. We just remove ourselves. Absolutely anybody can message me.
Yep.
But yeah, we got our wings very full.
Yeah. I think that's an important thing before we wrap up that, you know, mentors are volunteers. They're people that are trying to give back and trying to help others to lift other people up. And sometimes there is a lot of expectations and demands of mentors, but mentors are just people too. You have full-time jobs, you've got kids, you've got lives to live, and you're there to help.
Absolutely. And I think that Sue and I had learnt that anyway. So we had a number in mind of what we thought we could take on and we decided we wouldn't go any more than that. That's what we can commit 100% to and that's what we've stuck to.
Beautiful. Laura, thank you once again.
No worries.
And I'm sure we'll chat soon.
Cool. Thank you.
Thanks for listening, guys. If you like the show, share it with a friend or leave us a review on iTunes to help us spread the good word.
See you next time.